fog the fucking lot. Tupac had a sweet tooth of candy, but it's not what you're thinking candy. Tupac candy was real. It was his cold name, drunk, and something he couldn't get enough of. Tupac smoked weed 24/7. At first I didn't know what he was talking about when he used to say the word candy. But when we were on the video set, or the film set, he was always asking out there how much candy we got left. I always thought, candy? I've never seen any candy. I'm thinking, jelly beans. I couldn't figure it out. One day I approached with a little canister and said, "Pat, I can get you a little bit of your bun." He said, "Oh, you mean candy?" It dawned on me, right. Ah, now I get it. He gave me one of his first pack glasses. Yeah, calling it candy is the way we can talk about it with people around, but be discreet at the same time. It's a name I came up with. I invented that word, weed. From that time on, there was no mistaking it. The whole thing about working with Pat was I didn't have to spend any money on weed. Pat loved weed so much, there's no doubt about it. He was also very generous with his stash. If he didn't have any on him though, he did not want to be around him. He was very angry if he didn't have weed. He would always, that's when the anger would come out of him. If he didn't have weed, he'd be drinking, and that's when the bad behaviour would come out of him. And he would assault people like engineers and get into fights with gangsters. But when he had weed, he was happy. But I didn't even want to be around him. If he didn't, he was fucking crazy. But one night, we were in the Hollywood Hotel in West Hollywood. Pat realized they were out of candy. He was going literally for sure. "Fuck, I can't believe this shit. We've got plenty of motherfucking drink, Hennessy, but we've got no weed." He was tripping. He was going off the fucking ledge. Who I know off the sunset? And then it hit me, I remember, "Who do you know can get me some weed, man? Where no one's answering the phone." Snoop, because Snoop always supplied him with the weed, but Snoop was nowhere to be found. So he didn't know who to get his weed off, and he was going insane. But then it hit me. I remember meeting this dude in 95 at a Christmas party we had the year before. I remember he sold weed to the dog pound and the whole crew. And he'd given me his number. Because I had some friends I was going to turn on to it. Remy, just tell you, this was fucking funkiest smelling weed I've ever smelled in my entire life. I first got introduced to this weed when we were shooting the music video in New York, New York. Remember when I walked into the trailer? Boom, it hit me like a ton of bricks. They were all screaming, "Close the door, close the door." They didn't want any of the smoke to escape the trailer. The dog pound and Snoop Dogg. They were like two dogs. They were laughing and smoking. They wanted to smoke the shit and inhale the secondary smoke, basically to get fucked up as possible. It stunk so bad. This shit had the worst stench I ever smelled. I was like, "Damn, that's some fucking funk." I saw how fucked up they were getting me. I thought, maybe I'm off duty, I should try to hook some of that shit up. Anyone who worked with me knew I never once smoked weed or got fucked up on the job. When I was off duty, that was a different story. This shit was greener than anything that I'd ever seen before. No bud looked or smelled like a dog pound deal. So, at the Christmas party, I asked my partner, K.I., to introduce him. I asked him how much would it cost me if I wanted to hook up with his stats. He told me $75 for a eight. £20 for an eight. Getting ripped off now. You get an eight for £20. Dollars is like pounds. What the fuck? Yeah, so shit, that's expensive. But I remember the smell. You're getting ripped off there. The guy was ripping you off. Now get at him. You're ripping off. Pack from everywhere. Selling them 5 20 and we £75 for a week and get at the 24. I remember the smell and figured it was probably worth it. I hooked it up and it was unstoppable. You couldn't stop it with the wildest weed. I can't compare it to anything I ever smoked before. I've never done any other drugs besides weed, so I don't know what it's like to have magic and mushrooms all that. But it was unstoppable, man. The dog pound really needed shit when it came to weed. They were fucking, if you want to call it a weed of smokers, they were the smokers. Luckily, I made this connection because of this food. I always think of Tupac leaving after Le Mans Road. This was the weekend we were trying to get to Tonto, and he didn't want to be without me. I took through my little organizer, and lo and behold, there was a reason I don't have nowhere to get some weed. Yo, the end that the dog found. You want to hook that shit up? He said. Oh, hell yeah! I paid him and he called me back about 10 minutes later. Damn, Frankie! I said, you hooked this in up! This was the first time I ever had any dealings with Pac on this level. He was happier than hell. He was reaching out to everybody trying to get some weed, making call after call. Didn't occur to him to ask me. The dealer used to hang out at the studio all the time when the dog pound was asleep. And he knew the stuff. Even though Pac always got his weed free to sleep, he didn't know many other connections. I asked Pac how much he wanted to tell him. He told me 1.5 hours. I didn't know what that meant. So I asked him specific. Half hour, I told him the deal and obviously knew what he wanted. About 15 minutes later, Volume D shows up in a big zip knock bag filled with blood and weed. They started doing their thing and everyone was one again. My NIGGA Frank, my NIGGA Frank, hooked it up. Weed was weed today. They didn't care how good or how bad it was. When they bought it, they only got the best of it. Why he smoked so much was understandable when you were around him. He was like medicine.
People take medication to cure their mental illness. Without it, he would fucking lose it. He said to himself on the track, The Lord Knows, from the album Me Against the World. He spelled it out. I smoke a blunt to take the pain out. And if I weren't high, I'd probably blow my brains out. The Lord Knows. I think there's a truth to that, because when he had his candy, he was straight. It calmed him and relaxed him and helped his thinking process. Anybody who smokes good bud knows the benefits of it. You see through situations, you see through people. It's like a true serum for a lot of people, like medication, like antidepressants or something like that. For Pac, it was necessary as brushing his teeth in the morning. I guess it was a family thing. Whenever I showed up at a Wiltshire house, another house that he had in LA, every single time I'd be sitting with his mum, Athene, first thing in the morning, she'd be out there in the porch, and I'd walk outside, and weed would be all over the coffee table, weed would be everywhere. When he first got out of bed, every morning he rolled up a Philly blunt. Tupac told me how to make one. I'd never seen it done before. I met him, you basically take a cigar, Philly blunt, slice it in the middle like you're gutting a fish. Take out the tobacco and replace it with the weed. The shit's so good you'll never go back once you've been turned on. Really, for Pac, weed was just like medication. It was what he did to relax and calm down and get his mind straight. In order of importance, Pac looked at things like this. This is how he saw the world. Money first, weed second, pussy third. That's saying a lot too, because he really loved women. Every time we'd gone to make a video shoot or when we were working on Gridlock, whenever Pac was running short, he'd have me call whoever the production person was on the set to make sure he had weed. They always seemed to know the type of weed he wanted and who to get it from. There was never any question about it and no question asked. Most of the videos were shot through Look Here Productions, so they knew what was up and how much Pac loved the weed. For most part, he had as much as needed. When he didn't have it, he'd turn into a monster. He would just be angry and turn psychotic, like someone was coming down off heroin or something. But you know how a smoker can be when he can't find his cigarette, or a heroin addict when he can't find his needle. It's the same type of thing. It's just like a fucking nicotine fit. He had those too. He smoked a lot of Newports, like he smoked pot. He used to joke in the studio all the time, how if you took away the alcohol, you took away the weed, these NIGGS weren't able to rap. The Dog Pound joked about it too. I remember them messing around one day saying, without weed, half the shit they do probably sound whack. Whenever they were working in the studio, they were either stoned or drunk, or usually both. I mean, fucked up. There was never a problem about having weed in the studio, because every Tom, Dick, Harry in that studio, except from the security, maybe one or two of the engineers, had weed. Basically, all the producers and everyone in the studio were smoking it. And everybody who came through, everybody had weed on them. We pull out all kinds of weed in the pockets. It was everywhere. For most part, it was cool. No one ever fought over weed. There were plenty of fights because of weed. People getting stupid. Someone people getting liquid courage. When people had the weed, when they were fucked up, it was usually peaceful in the studio. But when the liquor started getting involved, that's when you had the beatdowns in the studio and things got rowdy. When they smoked, they were a lot more conversational with people, and that was on a good level, as was everyone else. But when they mixed it with drink, and saw the medical examiner combination of drugs, I gotta say, I never saw Pac get so high or too drunk handle his business. This NIGGS makes a lot of weed. The closet he came down from last night at Gridlock shooting saw double, because he drank and smoked weed so much. As it's known, it's not a good combination, and that's why things got treated in death row. Definitely Pac was John Bane from deep down. I'm sure. Nothing to do with Pac. But even in that situation, he got under control, and Gridlock, he was fucking out of it. He was singing double. Once we were in the trailer, the door shut me for maximum benefit for secondary smoke. I don't know, maybe that's something to do with it. He had little to do, but there's so much in the sequel for most part to keep up the benefit of the weed and smoke. But when he had a lot of chemistry and had a day with him. Playing fucking up. His brain, usually would calm his brain down. The same as smoothing a dog pound. His brain may get in that state of mind.
get down to the beat even better. Even for me, when I'm not in the music, it's not the music I hear itself. And I wouldn't mind it. It intensified my feelings. And now, with Jimmy B, during the time I spent after probably got 4 or 5 pounds of weed, I figured he would find it, but his home part of the share with his mother, his own habit, traveling with him, serious and fancy operation. Only time he didn't take it away.